flower farmers, are you looking to connect with florists who truly appreciate the beauty of locally grown blooms? And florists, do you wish you had access to fresh, high-quality flowers straight from the farm? Well, I have the perfect solution for you, farmers2florists.com. It is the ultimate marketplace designed to bring flower farmers and florists together in one easy platform. So as a farmer, you can showcase your seasonal availability, you can connect with florists, you can get your name out there, you get listed in the directory, and you can sell your flowers at premium prices without a middleman. And as a florist, you can get access to farm fresh, locally grown blooms that your customers will love. And these are going to be vetted farmers. These are going to be farmers that understand the quality that you need. And they're not going to just try to sell you 5 gallon buckets of whatever they have going on. So no more scrambling to find the perfect flowers last minute. I would love for you guys to check out the link in the episode notes. Get signed up. We are still offering a special, if it is available, the first 20 farmers to sign up for this platform get the setup fee waived, so you just have to pay the monthly premium. There is an entire episode explaining this, but go ahead, click the link, reach out to me if you have questions, and let me know what you need. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. And today we are going to talk about the Miracle on 34th Street motto for flower farmers and business owners. So this might sound a little weird, but stick with me through all of it. So welcome back. We talk about all things blooms, business, and what it really means to grow a life and career that you love. You guys know me from Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm, and today I'm just going to talk a little bit about this philosophy that has absolutely shaped the way that I do business, especially when it comes to customer service. And it's something that I call the Miracle on 34th Street motto, which is, if I can't help someone, I'll direct them where they can be helped. So if that sounds familiar, it's because it's straight from the movie Miracle on 34th Street. So you know the one where like the Macy's Santa Claus just shocks everyone by sending the customers next door to Gimbel's if Macy's doesn't have what they're looking for. So at first, like the higher ups are just horrified, mortified. They're like, why are you sending it to our competition? You know? But the thing is, the customers, they love it. They feel seen. They feel valued. They feel trusted. And it builds loyalty like absolutely nothing else. So I want to talk about a little bit how I started bringing that into flower farming. As flower farmers, there will be times when you cannot meet someone's exact needs. Maybe it's the off season. Maybe their budget doesn't match your minimum. Maybe they want a style or a product that you don't offer. So for example, last January, I had an inquiry for a small off season wedding. It was the first week of April. And we went back and forth and I gave her my quote for bride, four bridesmaids and boutonnieres. And she's like, hey, we are on a super strict budget. I still really want you to do my bouquet, but can we just do my bouquet and the boutonniere? And as much as I would love to do that with wholesale flowers, I just, at that time, now next year, I will have a year-round floral shop and cooler and business and probably be able to accommodate that. But right now I'm like, I can't, because I ran the numbers and, you know, if I'm paying wholesale, if I have like 8 different ingredients, they range from, you know, like a bunch of Lysianthus and the off sale is $28 for 10 stems. Eucalyptus is 12, you know, so if they're averaging $20 a bunch and for 8 different ingredients, like 2 kinds of greens, maybe a couple kinds of roses, that would be $160 wholesale. Plus, I need to tack on the $40 delivery fee that my wholesaler charges once a week, whether they come once or five times. So it was, again, $200 worth of flowers that I would have to order in order to make this one bridal bouquet. And yeah, I could have maybe got it down to like six ingredients, but then it's not consistent with what my work is because my work is lots of different kinds of flowers, lots of different textures, all of that stuff. And what do I do with the leftover flowers? So I would have had to like post them on Facebook and like, hey, anyone want something? And ideally, it would be someone wanting like a $100 bouquet because if I had to take these and sell them at cost for, a $30 bundle, it's just not consistent with what I grow in the off season. And it just wouldn't work. And it would have taken me a whole day, So it's like this just, I can't work for free for a whole day and not do things that either generate revenue or whatever. So instead, I told that client someone else that could help them, and I gave them a specific name. I said, here's Ashley's number. Call her. She's great. I just can't do it because I don't have a floral shop. Because here's the thing. If someone has a bad experience with you, even if all you did was tell them, I'm so sorry, I can't do that, I don't do that, it's still a bad experience. It's still a negative experience. They didn't get what they wanted out of the interaction. Even if it's not bad, it's still like they're not raving about you. And so they're going to find your competition anyway. If they found you, they're going to find your competition. Google, asking around. So wouldn't you rather send them there with kindness and have them say, Sunny Mary Meadow couldn't do it, but they were so kind and helpful. And next time I need this or whatever, it will be worth it. So it is a long game and it is so, so worth it. And the thing is, they will always, always, always find it anyway. So I've had, whether it's peonies or $25 centerpieces, whatever, they'll go searching. But your integrity and your generosity, that is what they'll remember. And that's what builds your brand. So just stop clinging so tightly to the fear that helping someone else means losing. Because honestly, in this space, especially the local flower world, there is enough to go around. If I can't help them, I want to be known as the kind of person who points them in the right direction anyway. I really, really think that at my core, I mean, I've been in business for now, this will be my fifth summer. It's been, 5 years almost since I started. And the thing is, I'm not going to succeed in business. I'm not going to do it if I have to always play defense. I've talked to my husband about it. The more we grow and the more success we have, the more I've started getting enemies that I don't know what I ever did wrong. It's just that they see my success as a threat or competition. And it's exhausting. And I refuse to play that game. I just refuse. There is an abundancy mindset and there is a scarcity mindset. There is playing offense and playing defense. And, one thing that I said to him recently is that, people keep saying, like, well, if you want to have business, you got to have a thick skin. And my thought is, my skin is thick enough. Like, I have been through a lot. I have very, very thick skin. And I'm not going to grow calluses just so people don't feel bad about being mean. Like, if in order to succeed in business, I have to undercut or undermine or, just constantly like, oh, I don't want to send them there because it's manipulative and it's a long game. And it's like, I can't, like, oh, what if they find them? And then now they, no, like, I can't play that way and I can't think that way. And so I encourage you, I get it. Like, people are undercutting you. In the long run, the Miracle on 34th Street model is huge and they're going to come back to you for what you can offer and take it as market research, the things you say no to. I said no to weddings over and over. I kept referring them to other people. And then eventually I started selling my flowers to those florists and I tried to get other florists to buy from me. And again, they had kind of the negative, like, well, why would I buy for you? And I'm like, well, if you would have just bought more flowers from me, I never would have started doing weddings, but you didn't buy flowers for me and I had to find a way to move my flowers. So now I do weddings. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say, I bet I turned down 100 weddings before I started saying yes to them. And now last year I did about $20,000 worth of weddings. This year in 2025, I should for sure clear 70,000, just what I have booked right now. But I would think that I'll probably get 10 to 20,000 more even by the end of the year because people are still like, I just booked two July weddings right now, and it's June 12th as I'm recording this. I just booked two July weddings last week. And then 2026, I will definitely clear well over $100,000 in just weddings alone. And I kept saying no. And then it's like, you know what? Fine. All right, I'll do it. And again, that stemmed from I kept sending them other places. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to do this. So this is a really short message about the miracle on 34th Street, because it's kind of like, how many ways can I explain what it is? But I just want you to think about the abundancy mindset versus the scarcity mindset, playing offense versus playing defense, and just help people out. And I really think that they're going to find your competition either way. Wouldn't you rather they have a positive interaction with you than a negative one? Taking a quick break from today's episode to share a little bit about my work as a professional speaker. In the next few months, I'm headed to Peoria, Illinois to speak to a room full of insurance professionals with a talk that I call What's the Worst That Can Happen? It's a no-fluff pep talk on the importance of life insurance backed by real life experience. Then I'll be in Western North Dakota a few months later at Fusion Conference, sharing how I built my thriving business by going deeper, not wider, with my customers, showing entrepreneurs and leaders the power of meaningful customer relationships over chasing every opportunity. Then, a few months after that, I'll be speaking at the Forum of Executive Women here in Minnesota, encouraging women in business that it's okay if you don't want to niche down. You can build an ecosystem, a life and business that reflects all of who you are. If your group, conference, or company needs a speaker who brings heart, humor, and hard-earned wisdom, someone who leaves audiences both fired up and deeply grounded, let's connect. I speak both in person and virtually all over the U.S. You can visit LizFidlerMergen.com to learn more, and I look forward to hearing from you. And then another thing that I do want to share, I haven't really talked about it a ton on the podcast yet. If you follow me on social media, well, of course, I haven't talked about it on the podcast. It hasn't happened, but I'm going to talk about my book too. So if you follow me on social media, you know that my husband, Brent, and I had a really sad, unexpected, terrible, horrible, shitty miscarriage last week. And we were almost 12 weeks along. And this was after we were told that we probably needed IVF. I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, so I have hardly any eggs left. Like, I'm literally going to be in menopause by the time I'm 40. I'm already seeing a endocrinologist to like make sure my estrogen's good, so I don't have like osteoporosis in my 40s. Like, it's this whole thing. They were like, you need to go straight to IVF because Brent's sperm also sucks too. And so we were like, okay. And we, of course, get an estimate for it, and it's $34,000, and our insurance is paying nothing. And so I was like, the whole month of March, I was like calling around and trying to figure out, like, can we get a HELOC loan? So like a reverse mortgage against the equity on our property, and which is really not good timing because we, you know, have all these other things. But I'm like, how do we pay for this IVF? I signed a waiver, like, or a whatever, for a down payment. We were going to meet with the doctor, and all of a sudden they're like, okay, now we're going to do this last thing of imaging. What day are you on in your cycle? And I just paused. I'm like, hold on. And I was like, I'm gonna have to call you back. And I went and took a pregnancy test and realized that I was pregnant. So then we had to do an ultrasound and get a dating ultrasound, because I didn't know how far along I was because I wasn't keeping track. And we were almost 7 weeks along at that point. And so we were elated. We were so excited, like, free baby. I didn't have to go through all that. We were not even sure that we wanted to do it. And we were so excited. And then, yeah, last week I had a miscarriage and ended up needing a DNC. If you guys know what that is, basically to finish aborting the baby, more or less, that was already passed. And so I had to do that. And don't freak out about the word aborted. Like, it literally, that's the medical term for it. Calm down. I ended up bleeding a ton during surgery and like massive transfusion and afterwards. And so we've got a lot of shit going on health-wise for me. And so if you haven't heard, I have a book coming out, and it's called Flowers Bloom Anyway. And it's coming out March 2026 with a traditional publisher. And I'm going to put the link to the waitlist in the episode notes, but I just wanted to share it with this audience a little bit more. And it is the story of how and why I built my farm and a whole lot more through it. You know, I was widowed and the lessons I learned, and it's the story of my farm, but also not just what I did, but why I did it and the choices I made in the aftermath and how grief kind of shaped me, changed me. And it started out as a self-help book. And I realized that wasn't the stage I always wanted to be on. And now I actually just this week, I'm like, holy cow, I have this whole other experience with loss and grief that I never planned on having, and I really want to get this extra chapter in the book. Not necessarily this, like, oh, this crappy thing happened to me, and like, especially like the infertility part, because I know people are gonna be like, well, you just got pregnant on your own. Like, I don't know how I did. Like, they're literally, actually, they think that's maybe why I had a miscarriage. Maybe the egg was not mature enough and all these things. Anyway, so trying to figure all that stuff out. But the thing is, the lessons that I never thought that I would have to reuse again, I'm already using them. And it's like focusing on the intention behind people's words. And I can't get mad at people who simply don't know what to say. And so their words aren't always perfect, but they come from good intentions. And sometimes joy has to be something you let in and not something you wait to feel. And I also, you know, the flowers bloom anyway, the name of the book, it was meant to be flowers bloom anyway, the world keeps turning and time will pass. What are you going to do with it? It was meant to be more of this metaphor. And literally last week, the flowers bloomed anyway. We had four weddings booked. Two of them were over $5,000 each. We had so many subscriptions. We had literally thousands of peonies blooming, thousands of ranunculus. I don't know about thousands, but probably 1,000 ranunculus, but thousands of peonies, like peony stems. Not, I only have 1,000 plants, but anyway, you get what I mean. But it was like the flowers literally bloomed anyway, and we had to move them. And I'm so thankful for the team that I have on board and just moving all of that through and just the realities of how that went on, and also like the lessons I learned there with, you know, when my husband passed away and I ended up taking 3 months out of work, and there were just things to do. There was an estate to be settled. There were just a lot of logistics I had to get done, and they were, of course, exhausting to do. And I truly did need that time off for like administrative tasks and estate and executor tasks. Plus also my normal was gone. There was no getting back to normal. But I will say this time around, I'm like, no, I kind of just want to get back to normal. I kind of just want to get back to my routine. And physically, like, I can't do a whole lot. I'm on lifting restrictions still. My hemoglobin is low, so I literally have to rest and nap and stuff. But like, there's other things that I can do, and I kind of just want to get back to normal, if that's even a word. And so just my insights on that. So if you join the waitlist to the book, if this sounds, if you're like, Liz, shut up, I just care about the flowers, that's fine. That's entirely fine if you don't care about the book. That's why I don't talk about it a ton on here. I'm going to be adding some like bonus flowers bloom anyway episodes, but again, you can always just skip those. But if this is something that you're like, wow, she learned some lessons that I would like to learn also, so click the link in the episode notes. Otherwise, it's lizfidlermergen.com/author, and then that's the waitlist. And I'm going to be just sending little like sneak peeks, early access, you know, perks like that. So get your name on the waitlist, and the link there is in the show notes. So today, getting back to the miracle on 34th Street, I want to leave you with this. What if our businesses weren't just about the flowers we grow, but the experiences we create? So not just the experience that they get when they're picking the flowers, but the experience that they get with every single interaction with you. The way you handle a no says way more about your brand than how you deliver a yes. So if I can't help someone, I still help them, because that's what makes your community strong, and that's what makes people remember you. So until next time, bloom and grow, and I will see you in the next episode. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.
All right, flower friends, I'm going to talk about Foundations of Petaling Perishable Products, or PPP for short. This started as a course with cohorts, but now it's a full-on membership. So you pay once for lifetime access to all of the course modules, which cover everything from sales and marketing to goal setting, legal, accounting, efficiencies, scaling, and more. Basically, how to actually run your flower business like a business, and how I took my business from a $7,000 hobby to literally a $500,000 revenue enterprise. And it's the foundations and the framework and the principles that I built on, because if you scale things that are not working, you're just scaling your problems. And so once you join, you are in. So you get access to the, not only do you get the whole course, but you get access to the private Facebook group of 40 plus members that are taking flower farming extremely seriously, a monthly Zoom call for the group where you can ask questions, get support, or just listen in. And there we cover a lot of growing things, but I also will share, you know, once a month, I'll say, hey guys, this is something I just learned. I'm going to teach you about, you know, the SMS texting marketing that I started doing with the husbands. And here's how I got them to sign up. And now they get a text a week before their anniversary or whatever it is. Like, or hey guys, I'm going to show you the behind the scenes on my Mother's Day flowers and how I did that reservation system. And this is how you use Calendly on the back end. Like, once a month, I show something like that. And then, of course, everyone can ask like growing questions, whatever. You also get lifetime access of exclusive replays of our quarterly webinars. Those are the public webinars that we do for this podcast. So now everyone can join those live. You have to sign up, but the replay is only for the members. And that is because I pack those with behind the scenes strategy of my farm. So like, hey, this is how I grew my farm to this, and here's the behind the scenes of the revenue, and here's the expenses that it actually takes to get there. I'm not going to put those out on the public podcast anymore. If you sign up, if you watch them live, you can see it for free. But if you don't watch it live, then you can only get the recording if you're a Foundations of PPP member. Plus, Foundations of PPP people get discounts for any of our in-person workshops and future courses. So events like Flower Farmer Forum, Farmer Florist Bootcamp, all of those things. There are three payment options to fit your budget. So there's a one-time fee of $1,000. You can do $100 a month for 12 months. So you save if you do the one time, or there's a middle ground of 6 months. So if you are serious about growing and ready to stop reinventing the wheel, please join our group. There is a link in the episode notes where you can schedule a 15-minute phone call with me for free. Tell me about your dreams. Tell me about your goals. Tell me about your problems right now. And I will be honest, and probably a third of the people that I talk to, I'm like, you know, I don't think this is for you. I don't think it's going to be helpful. I will be honest if I don't think that it's what you need, because I do want to, you know, I take it seriously that someone's investing in themselves, and I equally want to be there to help them. And yeah. So if you are interested in joining Foundations of PPP, I invite you to schedule a 15-minute call with me. Sorry, that was a really long ad. Podcast producer Abby is going to be like, Liz, keep it to 90 seconds. But I can't, because Foundations of PPP is so much. It's not 90 seconds. Anyway, back to the episode.